especially for Indigenous people, we kind of all felt this, is the lack of direction. Like, we feel lost in our life, right? And those are all products of identity crisis. Now, we also know identity crisis can be caused by cultural conflict. And what bigger cultural conflict has history ever witnessed than the colonial campaigns of cultural genocide and the mass assimilation of Indigenous people throughout the entire Western Hemisphere? Right? So we're talking about the most massive cultural war that has existed within history. We went on to talk about the idea of, like, false identity, you know, this idea of a colonial imposed identity. And we were saying that false identity happens when another group, and in this case a nation, seeks to take control of your identity, and it defines for you in a way that serves their interest. So think of that. They're going to take your identity, so as an Indigenous person, and they're going to tell me what it really means. So obviously they're going to do it in a way that serves them, and it's against my own personal interest. And then we spoke about these colonial identities, and the two big ones were the term Indian, and then more recently we have the word Aboriginal. But those are all colonial constructed false identities for us. We moved from there to the idea of stolen identities, and that was the idea of pretendians, the race shifters. And we spoke about how there was a spike in non-natives falsely claiming to be Indigenous. And that coincided with a lot of recent Supreme Court of Canada wins for Indigenous people, particularly around rights associated with hunting, fishing, trapping, access to lands, and also the idea of access to grants and jobs. So people are falsely making these claims because there is a financial or material motivation to make these claims of identity fraud. And what made it even easier for them to do this is the government and a lot of institutions, like, say, university, have a policy of self-declaring Indigenous identity. And that led to a big mess, because what they really should have been doing is recognizing the Indigenous nation's right to define ourselves, instead of just letting any colonizer go out and claim they're Indigenous. So that's kind of where we left off in the last show. And I'm going to pick up now and move into this idea of, like, what's the source of Indigenous identity crisis? And our identity crisis isn't, like, the result that, you know, a lot of typical people have around what are some good, healthy choices that you have to decide in life about who you are and who you're going to be. Our identity crisis is because of 500 years of a culture war that's been very violently imposed upon us. And you can look at, for instance, Duncan Campbell Scott. He was a deputy superintendent general of Department of Indian Affairs, and he was running the residential schools, right? And he clearly said, "I want to get rid of the Indian problem. Our object is to continue until there is not a single Indian in Canada that has not been absorbed into a body politic." So, you know, it's straightly just coming down pursuing assimilation by way of erasing Indigenous identity and culture. And even in the States, you know, just to mirror the same approach, you had Richard Pratt, who's running the Carlisle Boarding School, which, you know, like their version of residential school. And his famous quote was, "They want to kill the Indian and save the man." This is all about destroying identity and culture. Mm-hmm. So, like, why would Canada or the States pursue, like, this campaign of cultural genocide? And it's because Indigenous identity threatens the Canadian nation state. It's a huge problem because it calls into question their legitimacy of their claims, of, like, Canada's claims to sovereignty, their claims to ownership of their lands and their resources. So the Canadian nation has to really eliminate that threat to preserve the legitimacy of their, or I don't even want to say legitimacy, but to preserve their claims so there's no real challenge to it. And it does this by disconnecting us from our identity. And it forcibly imposes a false identity of being Canadian instead of being Indigenous. And it goes about trying to erase our identity by disconnecting us from our nationhood, like from our sovereignty, from our self-determination, and that's the freedom to make our own choices. It disconnects us from our governance, our rightful leaders, and our systems of law. Erasing our identity disconnects us from our history and the traditions. So you think about it, like the average Canadian, when they first learn about history in Canada, it starts with Europeans discovering Indigenous people. Very little is talked about over the tens of thousands of years of Indigenous pre-contact history. And it also doesn't really take into account Indigenous perceptions of colonial history. Like when you learn this stuff in high school, you don't learn a lot about the events of genocide and ethnic cleansing and atrocities. So what happens is we don't learn Indigenous history, so we have very little awareness of ourself in time, very little awareness of ourself in history. Erasing our identity also disconnects us from our land. Ethnic cleansing, forced removals, forced relocation, put us on in a reserve system that has allowed Canada to take 99.75% of all the land. That leaves only 0.25% as Indian reserve land. So only Indians can really claim to be legitimate landholders. I mean, I struggle with that term. I'm trying to avoid the term ownership because that's a Western concept, right? But the only ones that could really challenge Canada's claim to that land, we're the only ones who could do that. But if they can erase that identity and get us to accept this idea that we're Canadian, well, the average Canadian doesn't have an inherited claim to that land. So the average Canadian is not a threat to the nation in that regard, right? Erasing identity also disconnects us from our culture, our language, and our worldview. Now, an important part of this, and I don't want to speak for all Indigenous nations, but I know a lot of us talk about the idea of sacred responsibility. And that's the idea of we have a responsibility to take care of and protect our nation's territory for the next seven generations. Now, that sacred responsibility flies in the face of colonial settlement, colonial encroachment, industrial exploitation, and destruction of Indigenous territory. So we can see it, Indigenous identity becomes a real threat to the colonial project. So colonial assimilation seeks to erase all that, all those connections by disconnecting us. It imposes a new identity, and that's what we spoke about earlier, like the idea of the Indian or more recently the Aboriginal. And it's an identity that they control. It's an identity that defines us by the colonial idea of rights, and rights in particular to like lands and resources. And because they have the power to define, they create only very limited access to those lands and resources while they maintain the claim of ownership over all of it, right? So this false and imposed identity really leaves us in a state of like extreme identity confusion and crisis. It puts us into opposition with our authentic identity that's all about connecting with, relating to, taking care of, and protecting our nation's territory for the next seven generations. I'm just gonna touch on something real quick. Frantz Fanon, he was a Algerian psychologist working out of France. He recognized this power of controlling somebody's identity. And he also recognized that reclaiming identity is one of the first and most powerful acts of resistance against colonialism. Now, I haven't gone through all that. We can see where identity crisis is and stuff. We can easily recognize, well, we got to start doing something about reclaiming our identity. Well, it's not that simple. And here's what I mean. As I mentioned earlier, colonial sources are using dictionaries to define and explain the idea of identity and why it's important to a person. Those ideas are all about defining the self. Well, to throw a monkey wrench into that line of thinking, I can say identity reclaiming is way more complex than just defining the self. And what I mean by that is I'm going to refer to Dr. Winona Wheeler. And she does a lot of work on this. And I'm going to try to just toss out a few of her concepts. She explains that Western concepts of identity are primarily individual based. It's all about the I. And it disconnects you from family and community. And it's basically like writing down a profile or a card of your personal achievements and beliefs. Whereas Indigenous identity is about the collective. It's about the we. It's rooted in territory. It's rooted in the lived experience on that land. the connection to the people, the family, the community. And Jesus' identity describes more about how the collective is unique, not just the individual being unique. So she also explains Indigenous identity is about defining sets of relationships. It's about how we relate to our homeland and others. So those sets of relationships create Indigenous meaning. It creates purpose and worldview, culture and beliefs, kinship networks and connections. Now, I'm going to give you an example of this, and I'm going to use my own people, the Mi'kmaq, as an example. And the word Mi'kmaq translates into kinship or allies. So think of that, kinship. We're talking about relationships, right? That term defines our collective awareness. We're all about good relationships. That's how we define ourselves. Now, contrast the idea of identifying yourself as someone who holds good relationships at the core of your existence, and contrast that to the idea of the Canadian-imposed Aboriginal identity, which is centered on Indigenous subjugation to the colonial state. Those are two very different kinds of defining of identity. So we can see, like, there's a lot of factors that generate Indigenous identity confusion and conflict. So, you know, what are we going to do about that? How do we address that? We have to actively go find ourselves. Now, I normally laugh at that term because it's an excuse for a lot of people to go off and do whatever they want. Mm. But we really do have to go find ourselves as Indigenous people because it's almost been erased. Mm. Now, remember, though, the colonial state doesn't want you becoming your authentic self. Mm. So it's going to take you real effort and work to really find out who you truly meant to be. So I'm going to say, start with research. Find out your people's history, your people's origin stories, maybe your people's migration stories. Look for your community stories and where your family and ancestors fit into that history. Mm. Then when you learn all that, these traits that make your people distinct, learn as much as you can about your culture, your language, and your belief systems. Mm. Then when you have a good foundation of all that knowledge, go reclaim who you are within your people. Notice I didn't say just who you are, but I'm saying within your people, because it's all about a collective identity. Mm-hmm. And you do that by reconnecting with your people and reconnecting with your land. Now, at some point in all this relationship building effort with reconnecting, you're more likely going to be recognized for that. And you may even have the chance to get your authentic name, your Indigenous name. And that's really, like, that's profound in the sense of rebuilding your identity. Mm-hmm. And that's where your real transformations begins, because your journey is really just getting started at that point. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to urge everybody that's Indigenous to take on that effort, to start to research who you are and start making those reconnections, because we know colonization has disconnected us so much. Mm-hmm. But go and look for who your people are and how you fit into that. So I'm going to urge you to become who you were born to be. Mm-hmm. And with that, I will say, Nsugama, all my relations.
Wow, so powerful, so wonderful. It really fit in with our subject today. Our subject was on belief. And man, you sure got some really deep, wonderful words for all our listeners out there. I say Gukstemch to you. It's so powerful. It's lumen. It's in our language. We call it ha-ha. Very super sacred, powerful words. And I just thank you for coming to our program and sharing with us. Beautiful, wonderful, as usual. And we're going to have to say bye for now.
All right. Well, Alan, thank you. Thanks for having me, brother.
Yeah, no problem. Take care. All right.
Take care.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was my brother Saugage from the Mi'kmaq people on the East Coast. And we're going to carry on with our program, and we'll be right back.
Do you like music, or do you like technology, or do you like talking to people? CGSF Radio is the place for you. Here at CGSF, the opportunities are endless. You can interview artists and bands, speak up for what you believe in, or even host your own show, and tons more. To find out more information, visit cgsf.ca.
All right, we're back, and we're going to carry on with our program. It was always awesome to listen to our brother Sagaj. We're going to be speaking with my brother Shkwait Shakhlak from Gwaishkana, BC, but we're going to play a song of the week for him that he picked. And this is from Selena Gomez and The Scene, and this is her song, A Year Without Rain, and it's a radio remix. So enjoy, everybody. We'll be right back.
There's the, did I just leak look? Or
sorry, everybody, these are... We're back. That was Selena Gomez and her song A Year Without Rain, and pretty awesome. And we have on the line with us, we have my brother Shkwait Shaklach from Gwaishkina, BC. And for people out there that don't know him, he's my brother. He's a survivor of Guillain-Barré syndrome, lymphoma, cancer, the big forest fires of a few years ago, and also the big floods of a few years ago. So a very extreme survivalist and inspiration to myself and many other people that know his story. And just an honor and a blessing to have him come on our program and share with us. How are you doing, Shkwait?
I'm doing well as can be.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Son had me dancing around the house this morning, and we have a subject today, and it's on belief, and would love to hear your words on that.
Belief. I heard it said once that a person is what they believe, you know. Most people, I think nowadays, you know, most people think that's mainly religious, you know, for belief is mainly religiously oriented. But no. Like the saying I heard, you know, a person is what they believe. And our beliefs are a choice, you know. And like always, there's good choices and bad choices. Belief, it's been a choice, you know, we can kind of exercise it, because, you know, certain things change, and so too do our beliefs, and, what was it I was thinking of here? It's good to have beliefs. You know, believing in ourselves that we'll succeed in achieving our goals at work, at play, you know, in recreation. Beliefs also, you know, beliefs create vision. You know, it sees what has not yet been accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And it also creates strength of will.
Mm-hmm.
Relentless perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is it creates resilience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ability to respond and bounce back from adversity. Rough waters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, belief also ignites and activates everything, you know, because it's telling us talent isn't everything.
Mm-hmm.
Training isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be fully engaged mentally, you know, which is our beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Our beliefs, and we can accomplish, succeed at what we're working at.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's what I think of as when I think of belief.
Mm.
Because, you know, there's belief in religion and all that, but, you know, that's all different fields. Mm. But when I think of belief, it's, you know, what I choose to believe in, you know. Like, my belief is one day I'll be able to climb the mountains again.
Mm.
Maybe go hunting, you know. As long as I keep having faith, which is, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand with belief. Faith that the medications the doctors are giving me will help the exercises I do. I have belief that they'll help strengthen me. And so that's my take on belief. It's choices that we make in what we see to be true.
Very, very powerful words, and very deep, especially coming from you, you know, because of what you survived, the Guillain-Barré syndrome and lymphoma cancer stage 4. You know, those things, just one of those diseases can kill a person. And with your strength and your faith and your belief, you were able to persevere through it and survive and inspire so many people, especially me. I'm so proud of you. I get to, you know, share this with everybody I come in contact, and they all say it the same thing. Man, he's so strong, and I believe it. And it's your strength, your belief system is so powerful and wonderful that we get to share it. And I just thank you for joining us and bringing your wisdom and words and sharing with us, and your music. It's always a blessing and a privilege to bring you on and share your words. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm happy to hopefully give a truthful info that'll help others. Yeah. So I thank you guys there at the station, you guys on the front and the guys in the background and the listeners here and abroad. I thank you all for your well wishes, thoughts, prayers, and love. And I send it all back to you guys 1,000-fold.
Thank you so much. And just have a wonderful week and weekend in recovery. And we're looking forward to hearing you again next week. So bye for now.
Okay, bye for now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Shkwait Shekhlech from Gwaishkina, BC. And just always an honor and a blessing to have him come on our program and share with us. And so we're going to have to wrap up our program. We're running short of time here. We're going to play some Margot McSweeney and her song Eagle, or Grey Eagle, an old time dance tune. So come back again next Thursday, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and join us on Free Voices. Coming up next is Jacob and the Art Show. So we're going to have to say bye for now. Thank you all for joining us.
What are you going to play?
Grey Eagle.